You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Report podcast. First day to everybody, shout out to all the Pewter people that are just filing into the chat. This is an important show for the Pewter people because today's episode, Bucks free agency Q&A. We're going to talk about some Bucks topics, some things that have been on PewterReport.com. We're also going to leave it up to you, the Pewter people. If there's anything specifically that you want to talk about with the Bucks or the NFL or really anything in general, we are happy to get into. Happy March Madness to everybody as well, for those that have been paying attention. So a lot of fun stuff to get into along with free agency with the Buccaneers. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is my fellow colleague from PewterReport.com, Adam Slavon. Adam, how are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
Matt, we're doing great, you know, despite all the madness going on, whether that's NFL free agency or college basketball. But really excited for this show in particular and hearing some questions from the Pewter people.
Yeah, we'll see what everyone's got today. Of course, you guys know the drill. If you super chat us, you get to cut the line. We will get to your question as soon as possible. So shout out to Angelina S. saying, hey, Pewter people. Shaggy with the what's good, Pewter people. Ron Donaldson, a big fan of what Tampa Bay did with that trade, giving away Carlton Davis, saying the third rounder was a good deal for us. HH4 says, go Buccaneers. And Flash Gordon. Sorry, I couldn't control
that. Bless you.
Thank you very much. Flash Gordon saying, who are the Bucks drafting? Well, if you watched yesterday's show, we had our Pewter Report mock draft 3.0, a seven-round mock draft where the Bucks went with Graham Barton out of Duke, who was an offensive tackle but has played on the interior a little bit and also figures to be an interior offensive lineman at the NFL level. Let me ask you this, Adam, right off the bat. Let's just get straight to it. If you had your choice of a position for the Buccaneers to pick give me a specific player, but your choice of position, if it's the guy you love at this spot or the guy you love at this position, what interests you the most?
Ooh, of all the positions of need, I would say, if all the players are available in a perfect world, I'd go a center. I think getting that guy to replace Ryan Jensen and add that identity to the offensive line would be huge, even more so than a left guard, because the center, he's a communicator. He's a guy that really sets the tempo up front. So getting a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson, I think really outweighs a lot of things, the left guard position. Now, the topic would be either that or an edge rusher, because you saw what Shaq Barrett did when he came to Tampa Bay. A big reason why the Bucks made it to the Super Bowl in 2020 he can really transform a defense, getting a top tier guy. But in my mind, I see the center position really being the biggest need.
I am firmly in agreement with you on that one, Adam, because the Bucks in the past, and when I say the past, I mean like the last two or three seasons, they've been able to kind of interchange guard. And maybe that's not for the better because the Bucks have had the worst run game over the last 2 years. But they've had different guards to varying degrees of success where the mainstay at center has been Robert Hainsey. And I'm not trying to poo-poo Robert Hainsey at the moment because let's remember, he got thrust into this situation because of the injury to Ryan Jensen, which at the time was very unexpected. I mean, obviously, he was injury in training camp. And it was also a little bit unsuspected that he wasn't going to be able to participate at all last year and then inevitably led to his retirement. I'm with you there. I'd rather the Bucks find an answer at center with hopefully Jackson Powers Johnson. And then you can figure out guard after, because there is always the possibility that the Bucks go and maybe draft another offensive lineman, which again, if you watch yesterday's show or you read it on pewterreport.com, Scott Reynolds and Josh Capo had the Bucks drafting two offensive linemen. And that way you can have one guy maybe plug and play right away. Another one, you let nurture a little bit and develop the game and then figure it out, kind of the way that they did with Alex Kappa. So I'm with you. I think the answer for me is center and interior offensive line, more because I don't love the edge rushers that might be available in the first round of the draft. However, if this one edge rusher is available, this makes it a much tougher question. So love this comment slash question from Nick Bowen. Shout out to Nick, who says, my question, if Jackson Powers Johnson and Leatu Latu from UCLA, who we saw at the Senior Bowl, I mean, we saw Jackson Powers Johnson as well, are available six, who would you both pick? Adam, I'll leave this one to you again.
I mean, I would go with Jackson Powers Johnson if he's available at 26. But with Latu, there really is a lot to like. I think he would be a great fit within the Bucs defense. And he also kind of has that that bond with Joe Tryon-Shenka and all the rest of the former Washington Huskies on the roster. But in my mind, I really see Jackson Powers Johnson. It's hard to like miss on a center or an offensive lineman. As opposed to an edge rusher. Like, you can draft a guy with the first overall pick and he might flame out. But when you look at center, I feel like there is a lot more of like a floor. And with Jackson Powers Johnson, you know the ceiling is there. He can be that all-pro guy. So I would lean that way.
Bat W says a lot too. I would Jackson Powers Johnson, and I'm not just trying to agree with you for agreement's sake, because I think talk shows in general, whether it's First Take or whatever radio show you listen to, disagreement kind of goes show. But I mean, Jackson Powers Johnson is, it feels like such a sure thing. And there's no such thing as a sure thing in any draft. But in this year's draft in particular, it does feel like at center, it's Jackson Powers Johnson. There's a couple of positions where it feels like it's just, you got this guy plug and play. For example, and he's not going to be around when the Bucks are drafting, but Maserati Marvin Harrison Jr. guy, it doesn't matter if he goes to the Patriots, the Cardinals, another team trades up, the Jets maybe trade up. Like, as soon as he's on your team and he's in an NFL helmet in an NFL facility, he's just going to absolutely dominate. And I don't care if he didn't participate in, the pro days at Ohio State or whatever it is. The tape tells most of the story, and I think that would be the case with Marvin Harrison, but we're not going to spend too much time on him. He's not going to the Buccaneers. And Latu, I've said before, and I can't backtrack on it now, and I'm not sitting here being like, I want this take to be true, so I'm right, and I'm vindicated. I don't feel that way, because I think it's just an unhealthy way to kind of go making takes and building up, not just credibility, but like a thought process and really just being stubborn. I mean, we see with GMs, they draft the guy, doesn't totally work out,
and they keep him.
Oh, he's going to make it, just you wait. And then it never does. And then that GM ends up getting fired. So I said before with Latu, he's got great quickness. He dominated at the senior. I know he's like weight wise, he's fine, but I still just kind of like a little bit of a string bean, just a little bit. And I think it's the lankiness, and maybe it's a mirage for me specifically. But again, edge rushers, you know, why does a guy like Bryce Huff work all of a sudden, even though he was an undrafted free agent? Or Marquise Watts is an exciting player that has some potential if he gets more reps. You can find a guy like that going undrafted. I don't know. I feel like the Bucks can work out a different way, a different situation to put together a good pass rush versus having an immediate improvement with Jackson Powers Johnson as their starting center. There was another question about a different edge rusher that I think I might be inclined to take Jackson Powers Johnson. I forgot where it was, but the question, and I apologize, the question was about Jared Verse or Jackson Powers Johnson. And maybe I'm a little bit biased here because technically I'm a Florida State fan. I'm not like a hardcore Florida State fan like some other people. But Jared Verse, like getting to watch him live, seeing what he can do, seeing how he improved from being a guy last season who people thought he was crazy for not going into the draft to just fine-tuning his game, getting better as a run stopper as well, to add with what he absolutely does domination-wise as a pass rusher. I think I might take Jared Verse over Jackson Powers Johnson in that situation.
Yeah, that's a lot more debatable. Jared Verse, not only is a production there, but you can really see based on his tape, like he's a tone setter on defense.
Yeah.
And the Bucks could really use that. And it also becomes an argument of when you have a center, it'll improve the pass and run game. But when you have a guy as an edge rusher, it improves not only the pass rush, but also the play of the secondary too. It kind of takes some pressure off of them. And it would all depend on which direction like the team is leaning. Like Todd Bowles, very defensive minded guy. He could really get the best out of a prospect like Jared Verse, but also like you plug and play JPJ, you don't have to worry on offense because you have that guy that will set the tone. It's kind of like, which tone setter do you want, if you get me?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think that's a really good way of describing it. As Key says, get Verse or Latu. You can find a guard center in the second round. And you know what? I mean, that's been true as well. A lot of these offensive linemen, almost all of them that Jason Light has drafted, has been second round, third round, later than that. So it feels like that a lot of the offensive linemen that have been drafted in the first round, it's because like they're absolute studs and it's a plug and play. And that might be the situation with Jackson Powers Johnson. But I guess the big question is, how far is that drop off if you don't draft Jackson Powers Johnson and you find like another center replacement or a guard replacement versus you have Jared Verse available or Latu in this situation and you don't take that player? Mm-hmm. What type of edge rusher are you getting? Like, how far is that drop off? I guess really is the biggest question about it. So I think that's really what everyone needs to ponder in that type of situation. Speaking of offensive linemen, let's keep it Bucks-centric. Tristan Wirfs is due for a contract extension, or at least is very much deserving of one. I think Jason Light in that picture would be very happy to give him that contract extension. But it's not just Tristan Wirfs. It's Antoine Winfield Jr. as well. So there's a story that came out on pewterreport.com today. Jason Light recently was on a show on NFL Network. He was talking to Steve Weisch and James Palmer. It's called the NFL Report. You can check it out on YouTube and go to NFL.com as well. And, Jason Light was there for an interview, answered a lot of this stuff. We can talk about Mike Evans as well. Spoke a lot about Mike Evans, but then eventually the conversation got around to extensions for Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield Jr. And this is a conversation we've had on the podcast before that's been written about, so not anything groundbreaking or shocking in terms of just giving an extension to these players. But I think the big the big thing that Jason Light had to say was that it's a high priority to make sure that an extension gets done for both of these players. So just a reminder for anyone that did not know, Antoine Winfield Jr. got the franchise tag, so he'll get a little bit over $17 million. But that's really a placeholder so Winfield can eventually get a long-term extension and get that done by the summer. Werfs is in a little bit of a different situation where he's going into the fifth year of his rookie deal because all first-round picks get a team option for that fifth year. And, of course, it's a no-brainer for the Bucks to pick up that fifth-year deal. What Jason Light had to say about it was, let me pull up the quotes, I think they're both on their way to possibly having a historic career. They've already had great careers, but historic careers and hopefully the entire time here in Tampa. That's a very high priority for us right now. Number one, Antoine, and then in no particular order, then Tristan as well, to get them locked up long term. The funny thing as well is going back to the end of the season when we spoke to Tristan Wirfs in particular about getting an extension, getting a pay raise, which again, he's very deserving of. Tristan didn't really know his contract situation, and every player knows, especially when they're being put on the spot that, oh, all of a sudden we're going to ask you about the nitty gritty details about said contract. And Tristan, this a couple months ago, said, I'm still learning how that works. So they picked up my fifth year. I'm still under contract, right? I'm fine with whatever happens. I like being here. I'm not too worried about it. Then he referenced his coach at Iowa, Kirk Ferentz, who said, your film is your resume, so I just try my best to play good football. And Wirfs has a lot more on his mind at the moment as him and his girlfriend are expecting their first child, really any day now, March. So obviously that will be a priority of his focus. But Adam, two things. One, both these players extremely deserving. Actually, more than two things. Two, this will actually help with the Bucks' salary cap because if they sign Wirfs to an extension, they can create a little bit more cap space, you know, based on like the wizardry that Mike Greenberg, Jackie Davidson, Jason Light do in terms of, you know, how to get everything done and take stuff off the salary cap. And third, I mean, what does this say about the Bucks front office that, hey, they re-signed Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, Vontae David, they brought in Jordan Whitehead, and then, oh, by the way, we're not done yet. We're also going to make sure that two core pieces that came in the same draft are going to be here for quite a while.
I think it shows, first off, that they really take care of their own. Like, if you play well in your contract year, you can expect that Mike Greenberg and Jason Light are going to offer you a new contract. It's happened with Levante David for the past few years, with Mike Evans, even though he's 30, he's still getting paid. And you kind of saw that with Devin White. Like, hey, he might have the potential. He's playing on his own fifth year, but he didn't live up to it. So he left. So I think with Mike Greenberg and Jason Light, they're keeping the right pieces around to really build the next core contending team. And when you look at Antoine Winfield and Tristan Wirfs in particular, you see in both of them, they've shown what it takes to win. They're willing to make sacrifices. For Antoine Winfield, it was kind of moving all over the secondary when his best spot was at free safety. For Tristan Wirfs, it was going from being one of the best right tackles to, hey, I'm going to make a switch and be a left tackle. And he took it in stride, even though he felt the pressure of it, and he really made it seamless. So when you look at both of them, they're pillars for the next Buccaneers team, and they're good on the field and for jersey sales. I mean, these two guys are fan favorites. They're huge in the community, and they really have bright futures with their best football ahead of them.
I love what you said about the jersey sales, because Winfield, of course, is going to get a bunch, but I always appreciated, like, even as a kid and as a fan growing up, I always appreciated when an offensive lineman, and maybe it's because when I played football in middle school and high school, I was an offensive lineman. And I know how linemen, you know, receivers, quarterbacks, they get all the accolades, of course. They're the ones scoring the touchdowns. But linemen are just as important to the team. I always enjoyed when an offensive lineman became a fan favorite and fans would start buying their jerseys, because that shows the credibility of those players specifically. So, yeah, like what you had to say there. Sticking with that same interview that Jason Light had on the NFL Network, had some interesting comments about Mike Evans in terms of, obviously, everyone's delighted that they got this two-year deal done with Mike Evans. And, I mean, the tagline this whole offseason has been Buccaneer for life. Mike Evans, Buccaneer for life. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but I was thinking, this is a two-year deal. It's very likely Mike Evans plays more than 2 years. Sure, you know, they're obviously, they have great respect for each other. They get along well, and you know, they call each other family. But to just say that he's going to be a Buccaneer for life just after a two-year deal when he could play for three more seasons on top of that, I thought that was a, like a little bit early. And I get it, it's a marketing thing. Everyone goes crazy, and I'm absolutely for it. But I think Bucs fans, their tensions can be eased a lot more when he said, yeah, I can see him signing another extension after this.
Yeah, and for Mike Evans, it's really hard to argue that like he's not still in his prime. He had one of his best seasons. Jason Light himself said when they were working on this new deal, they were taking everything into account. The GPS, how fast he was going. He's a really hard worker, and he's still putting that work in every offseason to be the best wide receiver that he can be. And he's still shown that he's one of the top 10, 15 wide receivers in the NFL. So if he keeps putting up 1,000-yard seasons, without a doubt, he's getting another deal with the Bucs. But the question is, Matt, like, how long will he be in his prime? You've seen wide receivers, they have those 1,000-yard seasons at age 32, 33. Then they kind of fall off. Randy Moss, he fell off at 32. Andre Johnson fell off at 32. Even a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, as great as he was, he aged gracefully, but he kind of lost that step, even though he was productive in his 30s. So it becomes a question of, is if he's still productive, pay him. But what if he isn't?
Larry Fitzgerald did age gracefully.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So that's another good point for you. You're on fire today, Adam. You're like, you know, one of the March Madness guys just hitting three after three after three in this tournament. So there's a couple things. I mean, and I don't have, I mean, there are stats to back it up, but just watching him, getting to know him more just through covering him and things of that nature, Mike is really one of a kind. And we talk about like, what he means to the community and all that stuff. But in terms of having success on the field, doing it in what I really think is a different way than any other receiver that we've seen over the last decade, really. I mean, you know, like Calvin Johnson is arguably the best wide receiver of all time after Jerry Rice. Calvin Johnson still had Matthew Stafford. Now, you could argue, did Calvin Johnson make Matthew Stafford or vice versa? Well, Stafford ended up, you know, doing it in L.A. and winning a Super Bowl, so maybe that's not the case. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, has a little bit of an argument in terms of the number of quarterbacks that he's worked with when he was with the Texans before he went to the Cardinals and then the Titans. But Mike gets it done year in and year out, and I think that's huge credit to, like, his off-season workout regimen. Because you're right, Adam. I mean, there is a big reason to be concerned that Mike's getting older and his play could start waning off a little bit. But this was a big year. He turned 30. It was a prove-it year. And he had one of his best seasons in quite a while and still could have been even a little bit better. And that was, like, my biggest takeaway from – I know it was a couple weeks ago now, but – from Mike's press conference after he signed the deal was like, I have still so much more on the table that I have left to prove outside of, you know, breaking the record of Jerry Rice and having all the consecutive years of 1,000 yards. So the question of like, when will Mike drop off? What if he just never does? And what I mean by that is, you know, if Mike plays until he's, let's just say 38, hypothetically, he's not going to have like a 1500 receiving yard year and probably not going to get double-digit touchdowns. But Mike just finished his, what, his 10th year, if I'm not mistaken? Okay, so he signed a two-year deal. Mike has never struck me as the kind of guy. Now, he could play three more years, like I said earlier, on in his career after that two-year deal. But what number is Mike Evans on the Bucks? Number 13, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if Mike just never tapers off because he plays two more years, does well, says, you know what, I want to strap it up one more time. Can't you see Mike playing one more season after that contract, one more season with the Bucks, 13 seasons in the NFL, and then he calls it a career because, like, yeah. I don't know, he likes that number and
it makes it lucky.
Yeah, it makes it lucky. I don't know. I just, that pops into my head. I hope Mike plays longer than that, but I don't know. It's just something that I kind of considered. As Bat W says, Mike could play five more years.
He really could. And one thing I was kind of thinking of when you mentioned, like, you haven't seen a receiver like Mike Evans in the past decade. Nobody's, like, taking a stopwatch to Mike Evans and saying, how fast can you run the 40? That's not his style of football. Rondé Barber did a great film breakdown recently of Mike Evans' past season, and how he wins is his savviness as a route runner, going up and making those tough catches with a 6'5 frame. Mike Evans definitely has the ability to keep playing at a high level for 3 to 5 more seasons because his game isn't predicated on that speed. He is that Calvin Johnson guy that can really win contested catches from any quarterback that is throwing the ball his way. But I do see, like, an argument being made with wide receivers and aging. It's often that they fall greatly rather than continuing to go along the steady track. For Mike Evans, he might be the aberration. He might be that Larry Fitzgerald, Jerry Rice that can play into his late 30s. And it definitely could seem that way, but you also have to look at the next two seasons and how he does perform.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think at this point in Mike's career, even though we all want him to be a Buck forever, I do kind of think you have to take it by season, for sure. Want to get to this comment from Gary Buff, who says, we should draft a fast receiver in the late round. So I definitely do think the Bucks should draft a wide receiver, regardless of if it's early or late. I would prefer an earlier receiver because they've gone the route of late and undrafted as well. Gary followed that up with, if Evans slows down, he could play tight end. While Key has a little bit of a different opinion, or somewhat similar, we need a run after the catch guy. We have a speed guy in Palmer. As far as the prototype of wide receiver that the Bucs should draft next, should it be a guy that's a little more fitted to the size and abilities of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin? And I don't mean like, hey, this guy's going to be the next Mike Evans. Should the Bucks draft him? Yeah, obviously you should. But in terms of like size and height, should they go for something that they haven't totally had in the offense in the past couple of years, which is that complete game breaker, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill type of player?
Yeah, which is why I like the mock draft yesterday with Malik Washington, I believe.
Yeah.
And just he's a more built Devin Tompkins. Like, Devin Tompkins is great as a gadget player and as like a return specialist, but relying on him on offense, it's hard because he's only 155 pounds. But if you have that Washington or Malachi Corley who can kind of just be elusive and kind of be that Deebo Samuel type, I think it would do great things for the Bucs offense. Having somebody who's versatile and can also play really well alongside a guy like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who kind of have their own elements to their game.
You know, it's always fun watching those yards after the catch type of guys because they are electrifying, and it's like, how are they able to do any of this? And sometimes I think to myself, maybe they just drank a Celsius energy drink before they played the game, or maybe they even have it on the sideline and had a sip or two before the next offensive series. But of course, Celsius is the official energy drink of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Report podcast. Check out their newest brand of Celsius energy drinks, which is the Celsius Essentials. These are the tall boys of Celsius energy drinks, 270 milligrams of caffeine. They got great flavors like the Blue Crush and the Dragonberry.
They also have mango and fruit punch now. Those are both really good. Yeah, that's a 7-Eleven.
I'm telling you, every single day it feels like Celsius has a new flavor, and not just like your generic new flavor, like unique, creative type of stuff, like the Astro vibe and the Oasis vibe and things like that. They're as creative as like a Liam Cohen type of offense. It really is great to see. So whether it's some of the flavors we just mentioned or maybe an original flavor, the sparkling watermelon, the strawberry lemonade, cucumber lime, strawberry kiwi, tropical vibe, Arctic vibe, of course, is my personal favorite. The Celsius store locator on the Celsius website if you want to find out where you can pick up Celsius. Punch in your address in the location and tell you the closest spot where you can pick one up. Might be a Walmart, Target, 7-Eleven, health and fitness store, Quick and Go, right, Adam?
Quick Trip.
I knew it was Quick. Sorry. I'll try to remember that at some point. Quick Trip, Target, wherever, or if you're lucky enough, maybe you're picking up a Celsius at your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega, you know you love Celsius. You're like, man, love this drink, but I don't want to make like 15 trips to my bodega every single day. I need to get it in bulk. Well, you can get it in bulk. That's when you go over to Amazon, click on the subscribe and save. Get that variety pack, because variety is the spice of life, of all the great flavors of Celsius. Go to Amazon, do the subscribe and save, and have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. Could be a week, could be a month, could be quarterly, yearly. You're the captain now. You're in charge of it. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Before we switch up subjects, had another question about a certain draft prospect that we saw at the Senior Bowl and somewhat has a tie to Mike Evans based on his family. Shout out to Kells from the 808, who I believe during our roll calls every Monday, usually watching from Hawaii, if I'm not mistaken. But he's got a question about, what's the opinions on Brendan Rice? I'm a big fan of Brendan Rice. I thought he did a great job at the Senior Bowl. But with that said, a lot of wide receivers balled out at the Senior Bowl. But he's got solid size, really like the athleticism. Obviously, his dad is Jerry Rice, so there's the wee bit of connection with Mike Evans. Granted that Evans is kind of chasing history of his famous dad. But I don't know about you, Adam. I think this would be a really nice fit in the Bucs offense with Brendan Rice.
I agree. I really like the week that Brendan Rice had at the Senior Bowl. I think he kind of offers that Mike Evans-esque kind of vibe to him, where he's physical. He's 6'3", about 220. Like, he's really built, and you could see that he makes those contested catches and also has some ability to separate. I think that's probably the biggest concern with him is would probably be the same concern of Mike Evans. Like, hey, you don't have that straight line speed. You're not going to run a 4-4, but he can get open and he can make those catches. And he also was like the number one target for Caleb Williams at USC last season. He did pretty well for himself there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, not to change subjects, but we're going to change subjects because this is about the Buccaneers, but of course the NFL as well. There's a lot of discussion and I believe a projected rule change or new rule in the NFL. The hip drop tackle has been a major, major point of contention. Unfortunately, a lot more players have been getting injured because of it. And some teams have proposed a new rule next season. They always go to the rules committee with this, that a hip drop penalty. Well, a hip drop tackle would be a penalty, excuse me. And it would be a 15-yarder. So a very, very serious and damning penalty as well. I know I have my thoughts about it, Adam, but curious to get yours about this topic of conversation.
Yeah, so kind of looked into it after seeing so many players and evaluators talk about it. Really not a fan of the penalty because defense is meant to be violent. Players get hurt. That's part of football, one of the most physically demanding sports out there. And when you look at it, the refs can't get the unnecessary roughness, like penalties on the quarterback, right? Adding another one into the mix. And when you look at the hip drop tackle, it really only recently became a thing, like within the past season or two. There's not enough like studies and analysis to truly determine the risk of injury. And when you look at it, the hip drop tackle actually eliminates a lot of the helmet-to-helmet contact that players have, with NFL being so adamant on reducing concussions for good reason. It was one way for defenders to take down Derrick Henry, take down these big physical guys running 20 miles an hour down the field. You take that away, what leeway do defensive players have would be my question.
Yeah, and that's – so the first thing is I hate this rule so much. I despise it. I detest it. I freaking hate it so much. And the problem is because – is well, the problem of protecting players' heads, that's not an issue. But the problem is adjusting to it. I'm all for keeping everybody healthy, especially with concussions. I mean – the brain and the head, that's probably more important than any, not probably, it is more important than anything else. But then you got to give time for players to adjust. So what do players start doing? Going at the knees and things of that nature. And the hip drop tackle is different as well, because a lot of the times it's the person with the ball is ahead of you, and you're trying to prevent like a touchdown from being scored or a 10-yard run going to a 40-yard run. And if you take out the hits to the head, which they have, and defensive players have to adjust, you can't take out another part of tackling and bringing down the ball carrier, because eventually there's going to be no way that they can tackle somebody.
Right.
And I thought Scott Reynolds made a great point on Twitter, you know, complaining about this rule, because Scott's point was, we still don't even know what is roughing the passer and what isn't, or we know what is not a roughing the passer call and the referees still call it. So why should we put our faith in referees that kind of do a shit job, pardon my language, in the first place? Now, all of a sudden, we're just going to believe that the refs are going to do a great job when it comes to the hip drop tackle, which, to your point, Adam, has really only become a thing over the last season, maybe the last 2 years. So all of a sudden, this new thing is going to be figured out perfectly. I can see games getting ruined because of the hip drop. Biggest fear with football, they kind of go hand in hand. One is that the game will eventually die out because parents won't want their kids to play football because of all of the injury risks, because of the head injuries, which I totally understand. And you're already seeing kids are getting into tackle football at a later age, which I think is probably for the better. Like, I don't think an 8-year-old really needs to be playing tackle football. But my concern is, one, the game will die out that way, or two, the NFL is eventually just going to be flag football. And the thing that sucks, like, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, and a lot of people that make these decisions, they don't have to answer to anybody. And they make these rules which are stupid and idiotic. For example, how there used to be all these egregious penalties for celebrating in the end zone. And that's why they got the moniker of the NFL being the no fun
league. No fun.
Like, isn't this also entertainment? Like, it's a kid's game, but it makes billions and billions of dollars because it's so entertaining. And that's what I hate about it, too, is because, like, what are our options as media people, as fans of the game? Really, it's like, oh, well, we're not going to watch anymore. And even if it becomes crappy flag football, we're still going to watch because love the game that is football. And it just sucks that you're going to take away a huge part of the game. And I hate even saying things like, oh, Buccaneers legend John Lynch would never make it in today's NFL because the way he hits would just be illegal. And it's sad, but it's probably true. Yeah. And I just hate the way that it is.
And I could see like a playoff game being decided in the last seconds by somebody making a hip drop tackle. Like, what are the defenders supposed to do when the guy just starts moving? Just let him go into the end zone? When you look at it, like, you brought up a great point with like John Lynch, Brian Dawkins, like, those guys wouldn't survive in today's NFL because they'd be penalized for everything. And if you take away the hip drop tackle, You take away roughing the passer. Like, what methods do players have left to tackle? Like, just grab them by the shoelaces and say, hey, go down. Yeah. Go down now. Like, I don't get it.
love this comment by Bill Taylor, who says, just let Levante David teach everyone.
That's a great point.
He's got great fundamentals, obviously an all-time Bucks player. By the way, there will be a press conference with Levante David tomorrow around noon, I believe. Obviously, Levante agreed to a deal, it feels like 2 weeks ago now that it was done. So we'll hear from Levante since the deal has been signed. Check out PeterReport.com. We'll have stories about it, stuff on social media too. So excited to hear from Levante. As Bat W says, we're arm tackling now. That's essentially what it is. And arm tackling only works when it's a gigantic defensive tackle like Vita Vea against a small running back. And that doesn't happen. I mean, Vita Vea gets the job done a lot, but in general, across the league, that isn't going to be fruitful enough to, you know, really get everything accomplished. So, yeah, this is a big worry for me. I am quite concerned. You guys are hilarious today. Cali Buck says Zion McCollum can teach arm tackling. Zion McCollum has as a tackler, so put some respect, Cap. I appreciate the comment. You're a great commenter. I can't even tell who is that in the picture. It kind of looks like Zion McCollum. But Zion McCollum has gotten much, much better as a tackler.
He has.
What else should
I
get?
I like this one from Bill Taylor. Who's better, Derek Brooks or Levante David all time?
Oh, man. This is like, who do you love more, your mother or your father? That type of situation. Oh, that is real. Oh, Cali Buck says it's Mike Evans in the picture. Love Levante so much. Got to cover him. Fantastic guy. I think the answer is Derek Brooks, though, because Derek Brooks was the leader, team captain. And obviously, you know, he had help from Barber and obviously Warren Sapp and things like that. But Derek Brooks was the starting middle linebacker of one of the greatest defenses of all time. And it actually bothers me, too, outside of the hip drop tackle. It bothers me when people talk about the Steel Curtain defense and the 85 Bears, who get talked about all the time, even though the Bears have been irrelevant since then. And like the Ravens team that beat the Giants years and years ago. That Bucs defense was just as any of them. As any of them. And Derek Brooks was scoring defensive touchdowns left and right. He did in the Super Bowl as well, if I'm not mistaken. A lot more turnover, so I hate to say it, but my answer is Derek Brooks. But it's a great question.
It is a great question. I would lean Derek Brooks, too. The 2002 AP Defensive Player of the Year. I think when he played at a high level, he was just slightly better than Levante David. But again, Levante David really deserves more accolades than he's gotten. Thankfully, Derek Brooks got his. He got his gold jacket and everything, playing alongside some of the greatest defensive players in NFL history. And it's a shame Levante David may not get that gold jacket and that same recognition, the same love, maybe outside of Tampa Bay. Derek Brooks, probably the greatest defensive player in Bucs history. You can make the argument for Ronde Barber and Leroy Selman. Yeah. But Levante David, man, excited to see his press conference tomorrow, because we said it before, that man really deserves his flowers. Doing what he does in his 13th season, there's so many parallels between him and Mike Evans.
Yeah, no question about it. That will be fun to see. I do owe Mike Evans as well, because last season, I'm very curious to see what it'll be this year. Last season, his over-under on receiving was 875.5, which was extremely, and I jumped on that as quickly as I possibly could, like the song goes, jump on it, and responsibly put a fair amount of money on it, and responsibly won a fair amount of money on Mike Evans, because of course he reached 1,000 yards once again. I'm very curious to see what the yardage will be for Mike going into this year, in year two, working with Baker Mayfield. I imagine it'll be higher, but if it's not yards, I will laugh in the face of the odds makers of those. Yeah. So if you want to bet on the season yardage total of Mike Evans or anything in the NFL season, you can bet on the draft as well. Or maybe you're watching March Madness right now. You can make all these bets over on mybookie.ag using the promo code PEWTER. That's P-E-W-T-E-R. Get a first deposit bonus. Free money in your betting account. Absolutely free just by signing up with the promo code PEWTER, P-E-W-T-E-R. Even if you learn from Plant City Math, you know that that is a heck of a deal. It's absolutely free. So start betting on March Madness, which is going on right now. EA is still in full swing. Same with the NHL. You got the Valspar Championship is taking place in Tampa at the moment. You can bet on golf, tons and tons of different sports, prop bets, parlays, different picks that you can make day in and day out over at mybookie.ag. Also, check out their online casino. Not everyone can get to the casino on a regular basis, but you can enjoy the same perks straight from the comfort of your own couch. They got the roulette. They got blackjack, poker, all of that fun stuff. So check out mybookie.ag using the promo code PEWTER, P-E-W-T-E-R. That's mybookie.ag, promo code PEWTER, P-E-W-T-E-R. I got to say, maybe some of you guys saw, I put all my Thursday picks for March Madness on my social media. Feel free to tail. I am 3-1, or I was 3-1 going into this podcast. I think I'm 3-2 right now, maybe 4-2, depending on, I got to do some math and I'm not going to do it on the show at the moment, but I'll have a lot of picks tomorrow as well. Some of the picks I like in the evening, Kentucky and Oakland over 61.5. Iowa State, shout out the Cyclones, minus 15.5. NC State, plus 4.5. Couple of those picks. And Drake, Washington State over. That is the last game of the evening. So, you want to ride with Matty Diamonds? I know I won you a lot of money during the football season. Trying to do it as well with March Madness.
Off-season Matty Diamonds.
Yeah, off-season Matty Diamonds. Holla at your boy. So, I'll put my picks up tomorrow as well for the Friday game. So, you'll follow my social media for that fun stuff as well. Adam, a couple of other Bucks-related topics, but also they're not Bucks anymore. So, depending on how you feel about it, may be important. May just be dirt off your shoulder, as Jay-Z once said. I'm calling those players dirt because I actually respect both these players a ton. But Devin White had some things to say in his introductory press conference with the Eagles. And Shaq Barrett also really wants to prove the Bucks wrong as he joins the Miami Dolphins. I personally didn't really have an issue with what either one said. I don't think Devin truly meant this is a way better situation and all those things. I think he's just trying to hype up his own squad. And Jack Barrett doesn't have a bad bone in his body. I mean, I could just picture the way he said it and smiling and how easygoing
his cadence.
He is.
His
cadence. I know some people had an issue with both of the comments, but I really didn't think there was ill will towards either of them.
No, I don't either, especially Shaq Barrett's comments. The dude is just trying to prove everybody wrong and that he can still play football after his Achilles injury. All respect to Shaq Barrett, just such a lovable guy, really great in the locker room. And I think he's going to do great things in Miami. His best role might be filling in behind Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
And I think Jalen Phillips, is it? And just kind of being that guy that takes that rotational role, he's going to go out there and give his all. So respect to Shaq Barrett, Devin White. I mean, he's not going to trash his new team and say, oh, this is a worse team all around.
Yeah, I can't believe I just went to this team. We just kicked their ass in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with Devin White, I wish him the best, but the best also could have been in Tampa Bay. If he would have just got over the inconsistent play the past two seasons, we talked about Derek Brooks and Levante David, Devin White really could have been seen in the same light had he, just gotten over it and, played through the whistle, gave 100%. I felt like he didn't give 100% last season or the season prior and kind of fell off after the Super Bowl. If he would have continued that Super Bowl run, he would be getting all pros and Pro Bowls like nothing, because he was getting them, and then it just kind of his play dipped. So you talk about like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. It could have been Derek Brooks, Salvante David, and Devin White. It just didn't happen.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I truly do wish the best for both Shaq and Devin. The way Devin was quite sour, but I think it's also important to remember how much Devin meant to that team that won the Super Bowl. And of course, I think everyone remembers what Shaq, what he did for that team, both before the season before the Super Bowl and that Super Bowl and the past couple of years up until the last season. So, you know, sometimes you just need a new change of scenery. Obviously, with Shaq in Miami, it doesn't really affect the Bucs at all. Philly, it does a little bit with Devin White, but I really do wish the best for both of them. I think in each situation, going to a new team, kind of recharging the batteries, refreshing everything, could be very important. So as we start wrapping up the show, Adam, we did in the title that Bucs free agency. This is Q&A, and we're talking about free agency in general. Outside of the extensions with Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield Jr., like we talked about, what position potentially do you want to see Jason Light and some of the other Bucks front office maybe approach as they fill out the rest of the roster?
Yeah, in terms of free agency and like addressing the rest of the roster, I almost feel like the Bucks are done in that regard, just based on the draft approaching. They want to fill out the roster with young players and let young players take on a bigger role. For wide receiver, that would be like Trey Palmer and Rakeem Jarrett, maybe getting more playing time next season, as opposed to signing a veteran wide receiver. Or they could add a wide receiver in the draft, and as opposed to signing somebody off the street. So I think in free agency, if there was one position to maybe address, it would be defensive line or edge rusher. I think Mike Dana from the Kansas City Chiefs would be a great fit on defense as someone who's versatile, or even Jerry Hughes from the Texans, 35 years old, kind of that veteran and still being productive. I definitely could see that, or even like a veteran tight end to like one of the youngest tight end rooms in football. Those maybe be two positions in free agency I would target. But man, when you look at just the influx of young talent the past couple of years, it's hard to argue that Jason Light and Mike Greenberg haven't done like an A-plus job and retaining the free agents that they needed to, and also getting young players that are bargains for what they're making and their draft position.
Yeah, I really hope that the Bucks front office starts getting the recognition that they deserve, because this has been another fantastic offseason just re-signing their guys. And I think it's important that they get the respect that they absolutely deserve. I really do think tight end should be one of the moves that they should get or make, I guess I should say. I'm all for drafting another tight end, but that tight end room, I really feel, just needs a veteran presence around them. And I know Kadon's going to his third year, but like a true blue veteran that's been there for a while. So that would definitely be my suggestion. Another suggestion that I have, if you're looking to buy a home in the Tampa Bay area, or maybe even sell a home or just work with a realtor, there is no better realtor to work with than Eric Gross and the Eric Gross Group. And of course, Eric's been on the podcast before. Looking forward to having him on again. He knows his Bucks stuff. And if you're going to be going through the home buying experience, why not work with somebody that you're going to get along with and have a good time chatting with? You can even talk about the Bucks with him. And that's with Eric and Caitlin Gross over at the Eric Gross Group. It takes a full team effort to win a football game, and it takes a full team effort to win in real estate. The Eric Gross Group has done hundreds of transactions in this crazy real estate market and has experience in all types of situations. Eric is an avid Pewter Report reader and a Tampa native whose father was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. He and his team have the market knowledge, top-notch communication, and commitment to excellent service that sets them apart. With their strong team of vendors and a network of over 5,000 agents, the Eric Gross Group will turn your dream of buying or selling a home into a reality. Their clients are not just transactions, they are lifelong friendships. So don't let the stress of buying or selling a home keep you out of the game. Let the Eric Gross Group take the pressure off. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group. And check out their website at housesinfla.com, or give them a call at 513-907-4200. That's housesinfla.com, and their number one more time is 513-907-4200. No matter where you are in your home ownership journey, you'll feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor group of PewterReport.com. Guys, we have a big time show coming up next week. However, you are going to have to wait one day. So we're not going to have a show on Monday, but that's because we will be traveling to Orlando for the NFL annual meetings. They used to be called the owners meetings, so they changed it to the annual meetings. It all means the same stuff. And what that also means is we're going to be talking to Todd Bowles, Jason Light, and potentially the Glazers. As while there won't be a show on Monday, we'll have a show on Tuesday. We'll do roll call. We'll do all the fun stuff. And we will react to all the press conferences that we, the Bucks press, and most notably, Todd Bowles. A couple more moves have been done. So that's going to be a great show, a lot of fun. Not sure yet if it's going to be at or if we're going to do it in prime time at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Kind of depends on the scheduling of when we talk to the rest of the Bucks that are going to be speaking with us on next week in Orlando. But nonetheless, we're going to have tons and tons of coverage about all of it, both on social media and in the written form on PewterReport.com. So if you're not already doing so, please follow us on our social media on X, Facebook, Instagram, at Pewter Report, and our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. We got the podcast, bunch of different videos of all different varieties, whether it's opinion pieces or reaction videos, and obviously things from different events that we go to, like when we'll be in Orlando this week. So please follow us. Like and subscribe. Leave a comment as well. That helps. I'm trying to get to 14,000 subscribers. Get to that Chris Godwin number. So we really appreciate you guys. Another great week of the show. Could not do it without you, the Pewter people. But that's going to do it for us on today's episode. For Adam Slavon, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks, everybody, for watching. And we'll see you on Tuesday for another edition of Podcast. Good luck with your brackets. Let's win some more March Madness. Peace out.
Out. Oh.